The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitziah Daf Kuf Aleph. Today's Daf is being studied. The new Nishmat of Ram Ben Estir Wachshim Tilchanu Began Eder. We begin today's Daf on Kuf Amudah. We're going to start from the new Mishnah. Hamocher Zetav Le'etzim. Person sold his olive trees for wood. Okay, not he didn't sell the olives itself, but he sold the wood value of it for fuel. Ve'asu pachot miribi'it se'ah, and as he bought the tree, and the actual olives that were on that tree produce a very small amount of oil, less than a divi'it per se'ah's worth of olives, which is again a very small amount. Hare elu shel ba'al zeitim. So that case over there, it belongs to the Ba'al HaZetim, to the Kodashi. HaMocher Zetav V'Aitzav, Shiyakutz Otam L'Srefa. Right, he sold them the wood in order to cut it off, to use it for fuel. V'Shaha Otam B'Karka. And the guy left them in the ground. V'Asu Zetav Ra'im. They were bad olives. She'en B'Se'a Shemim Rivi'it Shemen. They don't even have a Rivi'it of Shemen, all these things. So it belongs to who? Shel Ba'al HaZetim. So I guess the one that bought the zetim, to the guy that bought it. However, asur v'yit l'se'ah, but let's say it produced a lot, it produced a significant amount, that if you eat for a se'ah's worth, ze omer zeti gadlu. Now each guy's arguing. The guy that owns the tree now says, it was my tree that produced these olives, these oils. Ve'ze omer arzi gadla. And the other guy says, no, it's my ground. Because bottom line, the ground is still his. He sold him the tree, but the ground still belongs to the other guy now. So each guy's claiming that the oil is theirs. One claims it's the tree that produced it. One guy claims it was the ground that's on it that produced it. Like, so then we say, yahloku. If it's an insignificant amount, which means it doesn't produce so much, then already he could give when he sold the guy the tree, he gets the oil that's there as well. But if it's a significant amount of oil, the other guy's coming to me. I gave you the wood over there. The you didn't cut it yet. But it's on my land. So therefore my land produced it.
Still his land.
Still his land. He sold him the wood. Exactly.
On the tree. And it produced it after. There's
but he didn't sell from the olives. He sold it for the wood. But it happens to be there's some olives on there. It's producing some oil. So if it's a small amount of oil, you say, no, it's not a problem. The guy who bought the tree can keep it because it's insignificant. The guy's mochayel doesn't mean anything. However, if it's a significant amount, now you have a machloket over here. The guy who has the tree says, hey, it's mine. It's my tree, my olives. The guy says, yeah, without my land, you have no olives as well. So therefore, in that case over there, we say yachloku. But Mishnah gives another case. So again, the first case is where it produces a small amount of oil. So then we say the guy who bought it gets to keep it. When it produces a lot of oil, so then we say, yachloku. Each guy can say, what's my olives? It's my tree that did it. The guy can say, it's my ground that did it. Last case, shataf nahar zetav, v'natam letoch sadeh chavro. Let's say there was a stream of water, like a raging river, actually, and it flushed the tree downstream, and the tree landed in somebody else's yard, the olive tree. Right? Now he planted it. So he says, ze omer zeti gadlu, ve'ze omer arsi gadla yachloku. This guy's claiming the product is theirs. One guy says, hey, that was my tree. Another guy claims, that was my ground. So therefore, the din over there is, yachloku. Come on, give me what I was going to say. Give me the case over here of the Mishnah with the olives. With the oil. The guy sold him the tree and told him, listen, I want you to cut it immediately. I don't want it hanging out on my field over there. I'm selling you the tree. Cut it immediately. So even all the olives belong to the owner of the karka, because I told you to cut it immediately. And then whatever grows now belongs to the ba'ala karka. I didn't want you to let it grow and grow more olives now. So if he told him to cut it immediately and he didn't cut it immediately, for sure all the olives are going to belong to the owner of the land. But if he told me, anytime you want to cut it, no problem. Then the opposite. Even if it's a lot of oil, it should belong to the guy that bought the tree, because he didn't get any time limit when to cut it. The case is talking about where he just told him, I'm selling you the tree, and he didn't give him a deadline or when to cut it. Less than an eighth of oil. The guy don't care. The guy who sold him the tree, even though it's on his field, he's not going to be a stickler for a small amount of oil. However, if he eat kapti inche. But what's going to say? Hey, hey, now already it's my field there. And therefore the din is yachloku. Amar Rabbi Shlomo ben Pazi or Rabbi Eid she'amru. Oh, by the way, we calculated Rabbi Eid chutz min ha-hotza'a. You have to subtract. It's enough oil, Rabbi Eid. But after you subtract the money that would have cost to process it, that would be considered, let's say, collecting them and the sechita and bringing them to press them in the press. Look at that sheet. Husband osa shumotze b'mesikatan u'ba'atziratam. Right, which means when we say revi'it, it's not actually a revi'it, it's a little more than a revi'it. It's a revi'it plus the amount of you have to subtract. It takes cost money to produce the olive oil, so it's the revi'it. So it's the revi'it, but you have to subtract the price that it would cost to produce it, and then already that's the shi'ur. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, okay, so it's really more than a revi'it. So you have more than a revi'it, and subtract the price that it costs to produce it, then you have a revi'it left, then already you can have a yachloku. Okay, let's look at this case here. We said what happened, the raging river caused these olive trees to go downstream and landed in some guy's field, and then now it took root. It took root in the guy's field. Now again, the guy who has it in his field, well, so there's a tree growing in his field. So now you have a machloket. Each guy's going to claim that, hey, it's my tree, it's my field. That's when you have the machloket. So Amar Ula, Amar Ish Lakish. So our Mishnah's name is Yachloki. You split the profits. Lo shanu ela shene ikru begushehen ulahar shalosh. Oh, we're talking about over here where a clod of earth was still on the bottom of the tree. Now let's discuss what that means. A clod of earth. Isn't it just a bare tree? A tree with all the roots and the clod of earth on the bottom of it. What's the shot in that? That we have a law that the first 3 years of a tree is a suit to eat from. It's called Ola. You cannot benefit from it. However, the deen is like this. So long as there's a clod of earth underneath the tree, so the clock sticks, clock keeps on ticking. And therefore, the three years are able to be up. Because it has the clod of earth of the original guy. Okay? The regular deen would be, if they didn't have a clod of earth, and you just plant it again in the ground, you have to start the clock again. You got to go 8 3 years until you can eat it. But if it has, yeah. So the original guy that had it in his field, so from his standpoint, the 3 years are already up because he has this clod of earth. And now the claim is it's in the new guy's field after 3 years from when he planted it. It's after, so look at the case. There was a clod of earth on it, went downstream, he landed in the guy's field, he planted it, now it's or planted by itself, now it's 3 years later from when he put it in the ground. Now let's see why each one has a claim. And then we say what? Yachloku. Came downstream with the cloud of earth on it after 3 years. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shene'akru b'gushehin, ima karkach svotem, with the ground that was underneath it. Shecholim nechayot al yado, we're able to exist on its own. Piturim in orla, you don't got to count orla anymore. The 3 years are up from the original guy. Kedetnan ilan shene'akar v'asila imo. If the ilan is uprooted and the sila is with it, im yachol nechayot patur v'im no chayat ulachar shalosh." Kilomar afilu ne'akiru b'gushen, and even if it had, let's say, this gush on the bottom of it, lo shanu di yachloku. When do we say yachloku? Ela la'achar shalosh shanim, sheshatfan ha'nahar, she'ilu nat'an metechila ba'al ha'karka belo gushen, kebal yatsu akshav miklal ha'olav. Because even if the guy that now picked it up in his field, if he would have planted it even without the gush, after 3 years already, he's allowed to eat from it. Because 3 years is no more orla. The hashta lo mahani legushin de ba'al zetim midi lachar shalosh, which means each guy now has a benefit. One, he claims that what? Well, my gush allows me to eat it immediately because I don't have a problem of orla. By me, everybody was able to eat it immediately because it's my gush. The other guy claims along and says, what's the difference after 3 years? And after 3 years, if I would have planted it and waited for 3 years, I'd be able to eat it as well. So each guy has a claim. My gush, the guy in the field says, well, I planted it for 3 years now. So even if I would have planted it from scratch, or whatever, without this gush, I don't need your gush to eat it. He's claiming my gush eating. I don't need your gush. I planted it for 3 years. So if we say, yachloku, aval, what would be the deen if it was within three? Betoch shalosh hakol shel ba'al hazetim. Right. But if it's within three, that everything's going to belong to the owner of the of the trees. Why? If you would have planted it within 3, you couldn't eat. Because you need to wait full 3 years. It's my goosh on the bottom. So then within 3 years, the owner of the tree can say, it's all mine. Understand? Because the only reason why, you wouldn't be able to eat now within 3 years. If you would have planted this over here, you got to wait full 3 years. So therefore, the only edibility that's I have, because it's my goosh on the bottom. Listen, if, you know, I didn't have to plant this tree over there. I could have planted my own tree. You're taking up space in my field. If I would have planted my own tree, you know something? If I would have planted and waited after 2 years, I can eat all the product. Now I got to split the half the product with you. Therefore, since I'm splitting half the product after 3 years, I want you to split with me half the product before 3 years. You understand what the guy's claiming? The guy's saying, listen, if I would have done it myself and planted the tree, I get all the product after 3 years. My tree, my goods. So you're telling me now after 3 years I got to split it with you? All right, so just like I'm splitting with you after 3 years, you got to split it with me before 3 years. So, Ela, ki ata rabina marish lakish, lo shenu ela shenakru begushin uptoch shalosh. Oh, to make a new case in the Mishnah. The case to had the gush on it, had the clod of earth on it, ubetoch shalosh, and it's within 3 years. That's when we say, yahloku. That's when we say, split it. Aval, lehar shalosh. But after 3 years, hakol leba'al karka. Everything is going to belong to the owner of the field. Da'amar le'i ananati lehar shalosh. Milo avachina lekule. Because you can come along and say, if I would have planted it myself and waited 3 years, I get to eat the whole thing. So if it's after 3 years, the owner of the karka could say, it's all mine. All the product is mine. I don't need you. But if it's within 3 years, so then already the hadush is that what? Since you have a combination of his field and his clod, so therefore you split it. Now the question is, the Gemara says, if you would have planted within 3 years, you would eat nothing. Now I'm giving you half of my stuff. You're splitting with me, so, and therefore you should give me half of the stuff after 3 years. So the Gemara says, Mishum da'amale. Because he could come back and say, if I would have planted within 3 years, hava katine vezarana tehotayu silta or silka veyarka, it would have been katine, it would have been a small tree, no shade, and therefore I would have been able to plant next to it beets and greens, because the sun would go on it. So therefore, don't come and tell me, oh, if it was within 3 years, you wouldn't be able to eat anything. Right? Because, and therefore he's claiming, after 3 years, you're eating everything, right? After 3 years, you're eating everything. So, you should give me half after 3 years, because I'm giving you the stuff for within 3 years. So you're benefiting from me. So he's coming and says, I'm not benefiting from you. On the contrary, if I would have planted within 3 years, I would have got more products on the side of it, because it would have been a small tree, and I would have had a lot of sun on the side. I could have planted the greens and beets and things like that. So therefore, the bottom line case in the Mishnah is, we're talking about a case where it had a clod of dirt, and it's talking about, when do we say yahloku? When it's within the 3 years. Within the 3 years, so then already we can make a halukah. Because I could say it's my clod, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to eat. It's in my field. Okay, fine. But after 3 years, the guy can come along and say, it's all mine. If I would have planted it myself after 3 years, I would have eaten it myself. I don't need you. And you can't come back and say, hey, but you ate from me within 3 years. So he can come along and say, no, I don't have to share with you after 3 years, because if I would have planted before 3 years, I would have been able to plant other stuff as well. So therefore, because of that, you caused me a loss now. Now I wasn't able to do that. If I'm not splitting with you the profits after 3 years, even though I'm eating within 3 years. Okay, we have a brighter. Amar ana zetai ani notel en shum'im lo. Let's say a guy, again, same case, you have a shataf nahar, the trees went into somebody else's field, and they took root, like we learned, and the owner of the tree comes along and wants to say, Zetai ani notel, I want to pull the tree out of the ground, I want it back. He wants to take the whole thing, he wants to take the whole thing back. So the deen is, you don't listen to him, you don't let him do it. That's got to stay there. Why? My ta'ama, I'm going to have him, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. because of the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. Once you have trees in a certain place that grew already, we don't want you plucking them out because we're worried that maybe the guy's not going to plant something else in its place. And therefore, once it's planted already, don't pull out trees from Eretz Yisrael. We want the land of Israel to become settled. So comes again what it says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kegon Da, Siricha Rabba. Wow, a halakha like this, you need a big rabbi like Rabbi Yohanan to explain it. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have said, I would have said that maybe there's no chaluk between Eretz Yisrael and Hustaris. So I needed a rabbi to come in order. This law only applies to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Right, because I would have thought, maybe once you have a guy, the tree already is in the guy's field, maybe I'll tell you, you can't pull it out, because already it's nurturing from the guy's ground. You weaken the guy's ground already. Now why, is he going to go pull it out of the ground already after he used all its nutrients? So I would have thought maybe it applies ben be'er Yisrael, ben be'osaris. That's because the law only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You can't take the tree out once it took root, because we don't want to destroy the landscape of Eretz Yisrael, and they want everything to stay over there. So he says, halakha like this, you need a rabbi, you need a great rabbi, like Rabbi Yohanan. Tananatam, Rabbi Yehuda min ha-mikabel sadeh abotav min ha-nukhli. A guy received a field of his father's, we'll have to see what that means, from a goy. Bottom line, the goy owns the field now. We'll see what sadeh abotav means, but the goy owns the field. Okay? Ma'aser v'noten lo. So the deen is, he's got to take ma'aser and give it to him. What does that mean? So that she says, "Amikabel lemechsa." He's an aris. Aris is he's a sharecropper, and he gets a certain percentage that he has to a certain percentage that he receives for working. He gets, let's say, 50% of the yield of the fruit or the product. Yeah, that's called an aris. Okay, he works for a certain percentage. That's his pay. Okay, now me'aser. He has to take ma'asir on all the tivu'ah of the field. Then he gives the nukhri his chilek. Which means, you have the case over here like this. Fine. Let's say he's accepting 50%, okay? And he has to give the goy now the other 50. How do you take the ma'asir? Off the whole thing. Now let's say you have 100. Okay? Now if you're going to take Ma'asir, let's just work out the Ma'asir. Ma'asir, by the way, is 10. Ma'asir, he showed us 10. And then you have Ma'asir Sheni. It's got to be like another 9. What do you have left? You have 10, you have 90. So it's another 9. That. And then you have Tiruma. Tiruma was 2. Because you take 2%. So therefore, basically, like you're taking 22 off the top. The 22 off the top, that he's only getting 50. So 50 minus 22... that's leaving him with 28 left. And then he's got to give the rest to the goy. So by taking ma'asir off the whole pie, he loses. As opposed to, if let's say you tell Moshe, give the 50 to the goy, and you keep your 50, then you take your ma'asir. You take your ma'asir, it's only 5. 5 and 5 and 2. It'll be like... 5, 5 and 1. Exactly. So it'll be 11. So he's left with like 39. So therefore, he would have much more. The deen is no. You don't take ma'asir only off your own items. You got to take ma'asir off the whole, even though it's a goy's field. Big hadush of it. The goy's hayav in ma'asir. You got to take. Logic would say, give the goy his chedek. What do you care about what the ma'asir from his chedek? You whatever you're the part you're taking as daddy. So therefore, just take the ma'asir. So no, you make ma'asir on the whole item, and then you give the goy whatever it is, and your part now is going to be substantially less. Comes again and says. That's the deen. So comes the governor, again, I'm reading it inside. When you take myself the whole, v'noten lo sevarua, now the governor wants to add us. What does it mean, sadeh abotav? My sadeh abotav, it means Eretz Yisrael. Sadeh abotav is another way of saying a field in Israel. Now, why do you call it abotav? Am I kind of this sadeh abotav? Sadeh Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov. Okay, the forefathers, Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov. The kasabar, now this opinion must hold. In Kenyan the Nukhri Be'eris Israel, Lafkiya Miyad Ma'asir. A goy cannot acquire property in Eretz Israel in order to uproot the obligation of Ma'asir. That means even if a goy buys the property, the yield is still Hayat in Ma'asir. I could argue and say, no, a goy buys a property. Fit in, that's goy's now. There's no Hayuf. No. It's Te'abotav, it's Te'abotav, it's Te'abotav. The fields of Eretz Israel, Hayat in Ma'asir. I don't care if a goy buys it. The yield is obligated to give ma'asir on the product. ומקבל כחוכר דמי. And in Aris, this guy that's receiving 50% of, let's say, the of the product for his first pay, we're going to consider him like a chocher. What is a chocher? Chocher is the opposite. Chocher is somebody that pays a certain percentage, or not percentage, a certain fixed amount to the landowner. For example, 20 kud a year. Whatever the field produces. Produces a lot, produces a little, doesn't produce at all. He tells him, I'm giving you a vig, 20 kud a year. That's called a choked. Now, by a choked, I understand why you have to take maaser on the whole thing. Because it's my field. It's my field. I'm just paying you 20 kud a year. But it's like I'm renting the whole field for a certain price. So the government, I want to say that in Aris is a little different. Aris, I'm getting a certain amount. But we're going to look at the Aris, where he's getting a certain amount, like a hocher that is paying a certain amount. Ma hocher, just like a hocher. Ben avad, ben lo avad, ba'i asuneh, umitan leh, which means, whether the field produced, whether the field didn't produce, he's got to take maaseh from the whole field, and then he's got to give him the 20 kud that he promised him. Dechi poreya chovato dameh. That's just paying a debt, which is we consider it his field, the chocher, and the money that he's got to pay, you're paying a debt. Af mekabel nameh ki poreh chovato dameh me'aser v'noteno. So to the Aris, we look at it as if once already you're paying the goy his chelek, we look at it as if it's all your field, and therefore you got to take ma'aser on everything, and therefore then you give the goy his chelek. Look at Rashi. Mekabel nameh ke'chocher dameh. כאילו מקבלה בכך וכך קוראים לשנה. It's like you got the whole field for a certain amount of kud, בין עושים בין אין עושים, whether it produces or whether it does not produce. So comes to the bottom line, we're coming on and say again, a guy is a sharecropper in a field. He's getting, he's got to give, he's getting 50%, let's say, of the yield. We consider like a chocher, that he's got to pay, that he gives a certain amount, where that for sure, he owns the whole field, he's just, it's like his whole field, he's got to pay a debt. Similarly over here, you ought to go away that money. You ought to go that money. But and the goy has never an ability to uproot the hayuv ma'asir of the field. If you got to pay the whole product, and then you're going to lose out. Gemara says, Amar le'rav kana le'rav papeh, v'amir le'rav zvid, ela hadetanya. We have a blight, but problem. Rabbi Yehuda omer ha'mekabel sadeh avotav memetzik nukhli. You receive, let's say, a field of your father's, real ancestral property, from a goy that stole it. Metzik is a goy, bully, came along, stole the field now, and now you're the son of the owner, the original Jewish owner of this field over there, and now the goy stole it. So then it's me'aser v'notendo. Oh, he stole it, really belongs to a Jew, that field. He stole it. So he says, the whole thing, you have to take me'aser from the whole, you're working from that, he became a sharecropper to this goy. So in that case, it says you have to take me'aser on the whole thing. So the Gemara says, what do you have to give me a case of a matzik for? Afilu en matzik nameh, which is the way we just learned now. It doesn't have to be a mitzik, only a case where the guy stole it from your father. It could be any field in Eretz Yisrael. Why do you only tell me a year mitzik? Ela le'olam. So the Gemara says, you know what? New understanding of this deen. Yes, kinyan l'nuchri be'eretz Yisrael lafkiyam liyad ma'asir. Really, when a goy buys a property in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chayuv ma'asir. His purchase is able to uproot the obligation of ma'asir. And really, the Aris, it's not like he owns the field. And therefore, technically, go back to the original case, a regular guy. The goy bought a property in Israel, hires a Jewish sharecropper. The sharecropper is getting, let's say, 50%. Finished, really, in that case over there, he only has to take ma'asir on his own 50. He doesn't got to take ma'asir on the whole item. Goy has no chayuv ma'asir, which means when he buys the field, it's mafkiya, it uproots it, and we don't consider like he's renting the whole field as if it's his. Oh, umay sadeh abotav. So what's the case of sadeh abotav? Back to the case. What's the case we have to take ma'asir on the whole thing? Sadeh abotav mamash. Where really it was his father's field. And the goy came along and stole it. And now the Jew's working for the goy. Uldide hu dekansua rabbanan. And in this case, we're going to penalize the son that when you're working on a field that belonged to your father, that the goy stole, you're going to have to take maaser over the whole yield, even though it's going to eat into his profits. What? Now why should you penalize the guy? He didn't do anything wrong. Because since the field is beloved to him, everybody wants to get their father's field back into their own portfolio, right? Wants to get it back. So in that case, over there, we're going to penalize him for his benefit. Which means, what's going to happen now? We're going to tell the guy, you know what? You want to remain a sharecropper from this guy? He's going to eat into your profits. You're going to have to take maaser on the whole thing. Instead of keeping, let's say, 39 for yourself, you're only able to keep, let's say, 28. So the guy's going to say, you know what? I think this is not a good setup. What's it going to cause him to do? To go buy it back from the goy. To go get it back. So therefore, for him, there's an incentive to put this penalty on him, because we know he's not gonna stay in that situation. He's gonna go and buy back from the goy. Aval inish de alma, no. But a regular guy, no. A regular guy is gonna come along and say, "Okay, I'm not taking this already. I won't work for the goy. Who needs it?" But this guy, we're not worried if you penalize him. He'll work, because wouldn't work. He'll end up buying the field back. But the Gemara says, why did they penalize him? Rabbanan. Like I told you, in order that his acquisition will be in his hand, which means they want him to buy it back. Since it's going to be difficult, all these taxes that he has to pay for the ma'asir, he'll pay a little extra and he'll buy the field back from the goy. Good. So basically, let's review the story that took place over here. A regular guy that goes into a field, goy bought a field. Oh, goy bought a field. There's no chayiv maaser. Finished. So now a guy's a sharecropper. And he makes a deal. He says, "I'll work. Do me a favor. Work my field. I'll give you 50% of the yield a year." Okay, beautiful. What's the deen? He gets his 50%. Take his teruma. Take his maaser rishon. Take his much only on his, because a goy and the goy's headache. The goy has no chayiv maaser bichlal. Okay, so what was this whole story over here? Us, the Abotav, is talking about a guy, his father, Jewish guy, had a field. The goy mitzi came along and stole the field. Oh, now the son of that guy, of the Jew, is working on the field as an aris. Oh, in that case, so the rabbis came along and said, "You know what? You got to pay maaser now the whole pie." Hey, what are you doing to me over here? Why do I got to do that? If I wasn't the son of this guy, I wouldn't have to do that. Why are you penalizing me? No, we're doing it for the benefit. We want you to pay high taxes, because what's going to end up happening as a result of it? You're not going to want to live in this arrangement. You're not going to quit because it's your father's field. You want to work the field, but you're not going to be happy with this arrangement. What's it going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to buy it back from the Mitzik, and therefore you'll get back the land of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they put a high tax on him, the Hakamim, because by taking Maaser over the whole thing, you have to take it over the 100. That's double Maaser. So therefore, it'll cause him to want to take it back. That's the logic of this deen. Comes the Gemara and continues another deen. I said on this halakha, kegon das licha rabba. Oh, halakha like this, you needed the big rabbi to say it. And that's why, by the way, we brought this case over here. Because for this line now, just like in the last case we said, for this halakha, you need a big rabbi to say it. Like the case of uprooting the guy's tree, where you said you can't uproot the tree because we don't want you to destroy the yeshuva of Eretz Yisrael. So this halakha also, you need a big tzvi chadus, the karaba. Okay, itmar. Look, as I already talked, sadeh havero. Okay, this guy went to a guy's field, he planted without asking permission. Guy went to somebody else's field, started planting a tree. Okay. So amarab shamin lo viyado ala tachtona. They make an evaluation, and the planter, his hand is on the bottom. What does it mean? Which means, bottom line, the guy now in the field has an enhanced field. There's a tree in his field. Again, he didn't ask for it. But we're talking about a case over here where he kept quiet. So he kept quiet, so they're like a tacit approval over here of some sort. But now they tell the guy, "Hey, now you got to pay. I got to pay you. I didn't ask this guy to put the tree in my field." Yeah, but bottom line, you kept quiet. So the guy says, "I'll pay, but I don't have to pay the premium. I pay at a discount," which means whatever is cheaper. If the maintenance, the toil, is cheaper than the enhancement to the field, so he pays what it costs to maintain. If the maintenance is more expensive than the enhancement to the field, he pays the enhancement when it enhances field, which means the guy who owns the field pays the cheaper price to the guy that put the tree there. He can come along and say, hey, you got to pay me a high price, meaning like, let's say a gardener would come along and plant this in the field over there, it would cost us such money over there. No, the guy who got taken advantage of in this case, where he put the tree in his field, he has to pay. Because bottom line, you have a benefit now, you have a tree in your field, but he pays the cheaper of the two prices. Look at Rashi now. Rashi says, Yadol ha-tachtona, Ima shebach yater ala hotza'ah, yesh lo hotza'ah. If the enhancement of his field is greater than the cost of maintaining it, yesh lo hotza'ah, then he only has to pay for the maintaining it. Now, even if he's got a benefit, let's say he paid $50, but his field now went up $200. He benefits. I just pay $50 for whatever it costs to maintain it. Or the opposite. Let's say the maintenance cost $200, and his field only enhanced $50. You just pay $50. He paid it cheaper of the two items. That's according to Rav. Ushwel Amar, Omdim Kama Adam Notzili Temba Sadezu Nenot'a. Shemuel says, no. How much would a guy take to plant a tree in the garden? You pay the regular the gardener's fee. Which means, she says over here, trees, which means it's more beneficial to the field, let's say, to have trees in it, so a guy pays a premium. So according to Shmuel, basically, you're paying a premium price. Right, I told you, the Nefashim would say, I got to pay a premium. Who asked you to put the tree in my field? Explanation is because he kept quiet. So, like, keeping quiet, it's already, it's like a tacit approval. So, Shimon's got to pay what a normal guy would pay to put this tree in the field. Which is, even though it only enhanced the field a little, but if it costs to plant such a tree a lot, you got to pay the higher price. It's a machloket, Rav Shmuel. Anyway, the Gemara says, "Amar papa velo peligi." Oh, no argument about it. Each rabbi was talking about a different case. Kan besadeh asuya litam. Kan besadeh she'enu asuya litam. It all depends. If it's a field that normally you plant trees, then you got to pay the higher price. But if it's a field that you normally plant wheat, let's say. So the guy comes and says, I don't want the trees in my field. Then he only has to pay the cheaper price. So Rav was talking about a case where he pays the cheaper price, where you don't normally plant trees in that field. That's where you pay the higher price. No matter the field that you plant, trees. That's the way they understand it. Right, that's what it says. Besadeh asuyal netam, meaning that she ilanot, in a place where you plant trees, she afed ilanot, yotem mizari, in a field that's better, more prone for trees than wheat, then already the Shemuel's going to say you got to pay the higher price. If not, then you pay the cheaper price. Now, that which Rav said, but he didn't say it explicitly. We have it from an implication, because there was a story that happened with Rav. If a guy came in front of Rav, Amale zil shumle. My case happened. Guy comes and says, hey, this guy planted a tree in my field, and I want him to pay me. So Rav came along and said, okay, go make an evaluation. You know, go figure out how much it costs, and you got to pay him. Amale lo ba'ina. I don't want to pay. What do I have to pay for? Amale zil shum le viyado ala tahtona.
Calculate it and pay him the cheaper of the two prices.
So it says, Amale lo ba'ina. I don't want that either. I don't want to pay anything. Lesof hazya de gadra vekam mentala.
Then he saw the guy built a fence around the tree, and it was protecting the tree, so it showed that he was happy with the tree in his field.
Galit adatak deni halacha.
I see that you're really happy with this tree over here that's in your field. What are you giving it so much protection? You're building a fence around it.
Zil shum le viado al aliona.
Now go pay him the top price, and his hand is on top. which is basically what happened in the story. Guy came along, said, guy planted a tree in my field over here. All right, go pay him. Go analyze how much it costs and go pay him. He says, what do you mean? I didn't want this in my field over there. Says, oh, you don't want it in your field? Okay, then you have to pay the cheaper price. He was really arguing. I want weed in my field. I don't want trees. Oh, go pay the cheaper price. So now all of a sudden, I don't want to do that either. So all of a sudden, Rav notices that the guy's really taking care of the tree. He's putting a fence around it. He's tending to it. So he says, you're a wise guy. You tell me you don't care for the tree. You love the tree. Yeah, you're taking care of it. Oh, therefore now go pay the higher price. So what do you see from Rav? Rav only said you pay the cheaper price when it's a field that you don't normally want to have trees in it. But if you want it, you're happy with it, so then already you got to pay the higher price. So from this story, you see that Rav only said his case in a place where it's not a field that normally you plant trees. Then you pay the cheaper price. But if it's a field that you plant trees, or you're happy with the fact that the tree's there, you're benefiting, then you have to pay the higher price. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Similar case now. Itmar, hayurid etuch chorbatos shlam. The guy goes into his friend's chorban, dilapidated house, let's say. He builds it for him. He didn't ask him permission. He started putting beams in the roof and the walls and everything. Then he comes back and says, you know what? I want my goods back. And he wants to take back his wood, his stones. Rav Nachman Amar Shum'im Lo. Rav Nachman says, you listen to him. Which means when he, Rav Nachman holds, just because he went and put it there, he didn't be makneh it to the guy. He did him a favor, but he didn't gift it to him. If he has a right to take it back, if you shut him in to me, once you put it there, it means you gave it to him. You cannot no backsheesh. You can't come along now and take the all the enhancements back. We have a question. The Ban Shem Gamliel says, Bet Shammai Omrim Shum'im Lo. Oh, Bet Shammai comes along and says Shum'im Lo, that he's allowed to go back and take the goods back. Bet El Omrim and Shum'im Lo. Bet El says he cannot. Ve'emar Rav Nachman Amar Ke Bet Shammai. Who? Now you're making Rav Nachman like Bet Shammai, because Rav Nachman's the opinion that says he can take the goods back. Which one of these two rabbis says you can take the goods back? Bet Shammai. We don't want to make Rav Nachman like Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai is not like the halacha. So Gemara says, Hu da Amar Ki Haytana. No, Rav Nachman's following another brayta. Detanya Shum'im Lo Devrei Rabbi Shimon Ben Shimon El'Azar. Oh, clearly, Rabbi Shimon El'Azar clearly holds like Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman, I should say, holds like Rabbi Shimon El'Azar that says Shum'im Lo, that he's allowed to take it back. Not like Bet Shammai. What we have a rabbi that Rav Nachman could subscribe to, Rabbi Shimon El'Azar, that says you can go take the goods back. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Bet Shammai Omrim Shum'im Lo Bet Omrim En Shum'im Lo. Good. My Avi Allah. What is the halacha regarding these cases that we said, what is the bottom line halakha? So Amar Rabbi Yohanan comes over and says, Bebayit, meaning in the case where the guy built his friend's house for him, and then he wants to take back the wood and the stones, Shum'im Lo, well, like Rav Nachman, that what? He can. Bissadeh, but when a guy that goes and plants a tree in somebody else's field, then already we're not going to let him pull the tree out. En Shum'im Lo. What's the reason in the field we don't let him pull the tree out? Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Like we learned earlier, once you plant the tree in somebody else's field, you got to leave it there. You cannot put it pull it out because we want you to establish the land of Israel. Ikad Amri. Some say Mishum Kachasha De'ara. Some say no, because you're going to weaken the land. Once already you planted the tree in somebody else's field, so now you cause those nutrients of the field, of the land, to go into the tree, and now you're going to pull it out, and you ruin the guy's field. Once already you planted it there, you got to leave it there. We don't want you to hurt the field. Mishum kasha dara. My benai, what's nafkamina between the two reasons? Ika benai yuchutza la'ares. Nafkamina is going to be if this happened outside of Israel. Which means, if you say the whole reason why you can't uproot the tree is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's only Eretz Yisrael. But if you say the reason because you don't want to weaken the guy's field, then you're going to be able to do it anyway. In Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Hamaskir bayit lachaveru bimotek yeshiva. A guy rents a house to his friend during the rainy season. Eno yachol lehotzi'o. You're not allowed to evict him during the rainy season. And what's the rainy season? Menachag v'ad ha'pesach. From Sukkot until Pesach. So basically, Mishnah is saying, guy rents a house from Sukkot time, finished. You cannot evict them now because there's no houses during the winter. It's raining. Very hard to find a house. So once the guy gets a rental from Pesach to from Sukkot, he's got the lease until at least Pesach. You're not allowed to evict him. Gemara, we're going to wait for Gemara to explain this whole entire Mishnah. But again, a maskir bayit l'chavero bimot egeshamim. Guy rents a house to his friend in the winter months. Ene yachol osio, he's not allowed to throw him out until it gets to the summer. Now, bimot hachama, in the summer, shiloshim yom. Here we have to see exactly what this means. In the summer, he has 30 days. 30 days what? We'll wait for the Gemara to explain. Ubekerachin, the person living in a big city, like the cities, ehad yemot hachama v'had yemot geshamim, whether it's the summer or whether it's the winter, shnem asar chodesh. He has 12 months. What is Ashir? Ashir says, everyone wants to go live in the big cities, it's overcrowding. So basically, what I was going to say that you have to give him at least 12 months notice before you evict him, because it's going to be hard for him to find a house. But again, we'll wait for the Gemara to explain all these cases. If you rent the guy a store, I don't care if he's living in a small city, the store, or it's in a big city, Shnem Asar Chodesh. You got to give him 12 months before you evict him. Why? Because the store, the logic of there is because the storekeeper gives credit to people. And therefore, he's got to give him time to collect his credit. Because if you're going to evict him, now the people who owe money, they don't know where he went. And therefore, he's going to lose money. So therefore, since the storekeeper gives credit, so you got to give him a year until all the customers come and pay back their credit before you evict him. If it's a baker or it's a dyer, because they give a lot of credit. So therefore, they give 3 years of credit. So if you got to wait, give them, at least you can evict them before 3 years, in order they can collect all their debts, because otherwise if they kick them out, the people are not going to find where they are, therefore they're going to lose out. Now that we got the basic lines of the Mishnah, now we're going to explain it in depth. What's the reason why in the winter, in the rainy season, you can't throw them out? Because basically, when a guy rents a house for the rainy season, he rents it for the whole season. Therefore, you cannot throw him out mid-season. So, same thing when it comes to the summer then. Which means, when a guy, there's no to be no difference between winter and summer. Just like in the rainy season, you say when a guy rents for the rainy season, it's the whole season, you can't throw him out. So the summer season also, he's renting for the summer season, you shouldn't be able to throw him out either. Which means, Nashi, Kasal Kadatak Haibimot Geshem Limea Geshemim Kamashi Pireshlo Haskeli Betkali Mot Geshem. We thought the case of the Mishnah was, the guy said, rent me a house for the rainy season, for the winter. So if that's the case, for sure you cannot throw them out. So then, so the summer should be the same thing then.
30 days.
But, yeah, why tell me 30 days? If that's the deal, that's it. Ela bimot geshamim hanu tama. Different shot. De lo shkia beta lemegar. The case is talking about over here where there's not going to be rentals available. There's not too many houses available. Rashi. Ubesocher stam kamar. You didn't make a stipulation. The guy just came to you and said, I want to rent a house. It was the rainy season. He didn't say how long he wants to rent it for. He didn't say 6 months. It's anything. Oh, kamar bashmi'ina da sukhir stam. Shelo pirezman. You didn't say the time. Havi sikhirut shiloshim yom. So we say, stam sikhirut is a 30-day rental. Hilkach, bimot hachama, tishkiyach beta. Since this house is available in the summer, imba lo tzi'ol desof shloshim motzi. After 30 days in the summer, you can kick him out. You didn't stipulate anything. No, I rent it to you. You didn't tell me how long. After 30 days, that's considered schirut. Throw him out and let him go find another house. We want to get shamim, but de lo shkiyach beta, where houses are not available, afal gab de lo agli el alam midyom, which is even though, let's say, he only rented it for 30 days. Eno yachol leotzi'o menahag ve'ad ha'pesa. You cannot kick him out between Sukkot and Pesach. V'chayav liteno bechol chodesh chizkar chodesh harishon. And you got to keep the rent the same. Which means you got to give him regular treatment like you did. It's not a 30-day deed.
30,
which means, again, if you stipulate, then everything goes according to your stipulation. We don't need a Mishnah to tell me. If you stipulated 1 month and get out, then that's what you stipulated. Here's what Stam. Guy came along, I want to rent a rent over here. And normally say Stam renting is 30 days. And that's why in the summer, after 30 days, the guy can tell him, take care. In the winter, the guy can Stam. Okay, Stam is 30 days. But after 30 days, the guy can't get evicted now. Because now you're going to put him in the street. There's no houses available in the rainy. So the Hadush of Rashi says also, now you got to renew his lease and just charge him month at a time, go month by month till the season ends. Okay, that's the deen of the Mishnah. Good? Comes going on says, Ema Sefa. What do you mean? We have a big question. What did it say at the end of the Mishnah? Bekirachim, Echad Yemot HaChama, Vehad Yemot HaGeshamim, Shnem Asar Chodesh. So we said if he's in the big cities, right? Big cities, you got to give him at least
either summer or winter.
Right. You got to give him 12 months. Doesn't matter summer, doesn't matter winter. Now, what do you mean? Ve'ilu malu le'yemes schirut bimot ha'geshamim mapikle? Let's say the 12 months ends in the middle of the winter. Now you're going to kick him out? How could you kick him out? Ve'amai halo shchiyach beta le'megad. Bottom line, you just told me that it's not, you can't do that in the winter because there's not enough houses to rent. So therefore, you tell me, oh, the big cities, you got to give him, he gets automatically 12 months. And let's say the 12 months ended in...
But you gave him 12 months.
So what? Now it's the winter. So you're kicking a guy out in the winter?
But he could find the house before the winter.
Well, so Kavli Gibran says, Amar Rav Yehuda Lehodi Aketani. We're talking about over here to give him notice. Which means you got to give him a 12-month notice if you want to evict him. That's what we're discussing over in the Mishnah. Naki, come on. And then now read the Mishnah. Once you learn that the whole Mishnah discussing over here, eviction, how much notice do you have to give the guy before you want to evict him? And learn the Mishnah like this. Naki, come on. Hamaskir bayit lachavero stam. You rented the guy out, stam. You didn't stipulate. You can't kick him out during the winter. That's for sure. Mehag by the Pesach. What's the winter from Sukkot until Pesach? Ela imken hodi'o shiloshim yom meikara. Unless you gave him 30 days notice before the winter season started. That means, let's say the winter starts on Sukkot, which is the 15th of Tishri. So you got to give him a notice from the 15th of Elul. 50 that we lose a month before. Once already you didn't give him a notice 30 days before, finished. Now he gets the whole season. Look at Rashi now. Big Rashi explains all the cases now. Meaning it's really an eviction notice that we're discussing. Hanak Shiloshim, these 30 days, or Yud Bet Chodesh, Diktari Bematnitin, Leodia Kamar. Hamaskir Bait Havero. You rented a house to a guy, however long the rental was. And the rental ended in the winter. I don't care when you rented it, by the way. Not only, we thought originally you rented it in the winter. Nah, you even rented it before the winter. But the rental ended in the middle of the rainy season. You cannot kick him out in the middle of the winter. There's no houses available. Unless you gave him in the summer already, you gave him a 30-day notice.
I'm
not
going to extend.
Right, which means that's it. I'm not renewing your lease, buddy. You got to give me 30-day notice. But from when?
Before.
From before the rainy season. From the 15th of Elul already, Sarich lo di osh lo shim yom kodem ahag, umimela shem'inan, imkalu lo yemeski ruto bimot ahamah, which means, let's say, his chirut ended in the middle of the summer, eno yachol lo tzio ad shlo shim yom mishihodio, which means, and in the summer as well, you always got to give the guy minimum 30 days to eviction. The imbal lo tzio bizmano. Now, when you want to take him out of his lease is up. Sarich lo di'o shiloshim yom kodem azman. You got to give him 30-day notice. That's always the rule of it. You got to give 30-day notice before you're going to evict somebody. But when it comes to the winter, you got to give, if his lease ends up in the winter sometime, you got to give him 30-day notice
before the season
starts, from the 15th of Elul.
ובקרחים, and when it comes to the big cities, צריך להודיעו י"ב חודש קודם יציאתו. You gotta give him 12 months notice before you want to evict him. ואם לא הודיעו, and if you didn't give him a warning, לא יצא אלא נותן לו כמשפט הראשון. You gotta keep him on. You didn't give him the proper notice, he can keep on getting the same rent, and he goes like the regular. So again, let's go do the Mishnah. The Mishnah's case is, if you rent a guy Stam in the winter, Stam, for sure you can't throw him out. That's the regular deal. In winter, Stam, you didn't stipulate, can't throw the guy out. But Al Mishnah really was talking about over here, the Gaber, how much warning you got to give a guy before you evict him. Regular eviction notice, when you want to just throw the guy out, it's got to be 30 days. Which in the regular summer, you want to evict a guy in the summer, 30 days before you want to evict him, I say, you know what, by the way, next month, already you got to go. I'm not... I'll give you one more month to go look for something, right? And in the summer, they have there's time. You have time to do that. Now, if the guy has a longer lease, let's say, and now it's going to run into the winter, you can't come to the guy now, Rosh Chodesh Tishri, 2 weeks before Sukkot, and say, you know, sorry, eviction. What do you mean eviction? How am I going to find a house now? It's the rainy season. Everybody's scrambling to find houses. No, you can't evict me. I can stay until Pesach, because you have no... But if he came to him... The 30 days. If he came to him on Tevav Elul, came the 30-day window before Sukkot, then he could say, listen, I gave you 30 days, and now it's your problem. That's the whole din of the Mishnah. Now, in big cities, where it is really overcrowding, so then the din is, you got to give him 12 months notice in order to get out. Now, I don't care if it comes out in the winter, yeah. Because by the way, I gave you 12 months. You had time to go, you waited till the winter to make your decision. That's your problem, but I gave you the 12-month notice. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Nameache, Kesha'amu Shiloshim, when they said 30 days, Usha'amu Shlemazan, when they said 12 months, Lo Amru Ela Lehodiya. They only said it as an eviction notice, to give the guy notice. Ushem Shemaskir Sarich Lehodiya. Oh, new law. Just like the Maskir, the rent, the guy that the landlord has to give notice, Kach Socher Sarich Lehodiya. So the sochir also, if he's leaving early, he's got to let the guy know. He can't just walk out of a rental over here without telling the guy, the landlord. Damar le, yodatan. Hey, listen, if you would have told me, havat tarachna umotiv nabe in shemalia, I would have brought in good people. I could have rented in the interim. Well, I could have got rent. I could have got good tenants. The whole she'ela is a tenant allowed to leave and put a new tenant in.
Sublease.
Yeah, he wants a
sublease.
Yeah, he wants a sublease, which means he don't want to stay in the apartment anymore. He wants to go out now. Like, don't worry, you're not going to lose out. I'll get you another customer, I'll get you another tenant, and he'll pay you the rent. Now I don't want the rent. He's not sublease. He's paying it to the landlord. Is he allowed to do that over there? So there's an ambam on this over here. The Rambam says that at Shulchan Aruch. What's the case over there? What was the case over there? Let's get this case over here. All right, I want to read you that. Right, just like the Maskir has to give notice, 30 days, the Sukkot also has to give notice. 30 days, by the way. Same rules, by the way. Oh, that's the deed over here. Which means, just like the landlord's got to give 30 days eviction, he's got to give also 30 days the landlord that he's leaving. Or in the big cities, 12 months. The same rule we're saying is, just like you got to give him 30-day notice on the eviction, he's got to give 30 days that he's leaving. And in the big cities, he's got to give 12 months. If the socher, that's what I want to tell you. If, let's say, the socher leaves, but he puts somebody in his place, then in already caught that Rambam, he doesn't have to tell the Balabai. Because he's getting his rent anyway. Right. What do I gotta give you a permission? What do I gotta tell you anything over here? We're only worried he's gonna leave the place vacant. Now the guy comes over and says, hey, I could have rented it out. Okay. So then we have no problem. Then you don't have to give any time. Unless the guy's not a Hagun guy. Unless he put some bum in there. Now the guy could say, hey, I don't want to deal picking up rent from this guy every month. You put a guy that's not that good over there, that he could stop over there. Because normally rentals for a long period of time, and it's a relationship, so therefore he has to have an issue with that. Okay, now the Gemara is going to come along and say...
700 credit.
Now continue the Gemara. Rav Aseh, Im nechnas yom echad bimot ha-geshamim, eno yachol lehotzi'o min ha-chag ad ha-pesach. Which means... If the zman of the sekirut, if the time of the rental goes one day into the rainy season, which sounds like one day meaning into Sukkot. Enu yakol leotzio ad Chag HaPesach. You cannot throw him out the Pesach. Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'anan 30 yom kamar. What do you tell me to Pesach? It's a Sukkot. It should be, if the rental goes even one day, Tetvav Elul, right? The 15th of Elul, why tell me one day of Sukkot? Haki kamar. Im nechnas shom mehad bimot geshim, mehani 30 yom. Meaning if it goes even one day into the 30 days before Sukkot, then Enu yakol leotzio min Chag va'ad HaPesach. Then he can come out till the end. Amar Ravuna, the imbal de rabot bedameha merabe, which means if let's say the skirut ended, right, the lease ended, and now the landlord wants to raise the rent for the coming months, merabe, he has a right to do that without even notifying him. Just that's it. He can raise the rent. Amar de Rav Nachman, hay linkinte bechupseh de lishpeke legilima, which is, this is similar to a guy that's holding the betzim of his friend, and he's forcing him to let go of his garment. Look at the Rashi in the first wide line. Meaning you're squeezing the guy till he lets off his, gives you his talet. Which means you can't do that. You can't what? Just raise the run. The guy's got to pay. Gemara says Lo tzericha de iyakud bate, which means the price of rentals went up. In that case, over there, he's allowed to do without telling him over here, and because that's the market price. So market price, yeah, he doesn't have to lose out. But stam, without just raising the rent without any justification, he cannot do that without telling him. The Gemara continues. Beshita, it's pashut nafal lebeta. If let's say the landlord, his own house falls down and becomes dilapidated, so now he wants to evict the tenant. Now, normally we said yesterday in the earlier part of the daf that you have to give a certain amount of notice before you make an eviction. Some places 30 days, some places even 12 months. So now we're saying over here, but if his house falls down, he has no way to live, Amale, he could tell the tenant, Lo adifa minai. He says, you're not better than me, which means I only have to give you an eviction notice when I know that I need the apartment or the house. But then I could throw you out. I didn't have to give you a notice. But here I had no idea. This happened suddenly. So therefore, just like you didn't know, I didn't know either. So therefore, in that case over there, he is allowed to tell him that he's evicted in order that he can come and live in the house, which means you don't have a better right than I do to live under a roof, and therefore we can evict him. Comes Gemara and says, Zebne. Let's say the Bala Bayit, the landlord, sold the house. Or Urte. Or let's say he died and it went to an inheritor. Or Yehavit Bematera. Or he gave it as a gift to somebody. Amarle. So the renter could say, Lo Adifat Megavrad Atit Mine. You're not better than the person that you came from, which means you can't just throw me out. You have to follow the same rules, 30 days or 12 months accordingly to the same deen. Comes the Gemara and says, if let's say the Zman of the Sechirut ended, right? He had a lease, whatever it was, and it came to its completion. Kelale libre. And the Baal HaBayit gave the house to his son, like the custom was in the olden days to give a house to the Hatanim after they would get married. So therefore, he married his son. Now he wants to kick him out of the house in order to give it to his son. So it says, Hazinan, we see, if he was able to anticipate that he's going to need this house for his son, and he had a chance to inform him, then of course he has to give him the proper eviction notice. Ve'ilo, but let's say it was not possible. His son got married right away. It was very quick, and now he needs the house. So the deen is, Amale, he could tell him, Lo adifat minai, you're not better than me. And therefore, he's allowed to kick him out, even without any warning, in order to give it to his son for the Hatan. Hahu gabra de zaban arba de hamra. There was a story, a person bought a boat filled with merchandise. What type of merchandise? Wine. So again, arba is a boat, de hamra, filled with wine. No ashkah tukhta le utbe, but he didn't know where he's going to store all the wine now. He had a shipment of this wine here. He needs a warehouse to store all the wine. So he went to a certain lady. Do you have a place over here where I can rent from you in order to, like, space where I can put the wine? She said, no, I don't have. Azal kitcha. So he went, this guy, and he married her. Now already she gave him a place, a husband. So she actually says, rented him a place that she had in order to put the wine. So comes again, what says, Azal lebete. So he went home, katav le, and he wrote her gita. Once he got the rental, he doesn't need her anymore. So he wrote a getva, v'shadar le, and he sent her. Azla'ihi, so she went, agra shakulai, she hired porters. And what did she do? Mine ube.
From the wine.
From the wine itself. She used the wine. She sold some of the wine to pay for the porters in order to what? To evict all the wine outside the house. Afikte ve'otve b'shmila. And she sent it out and she placed it in the middle of the street in front of the house. Amar Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua. Kasher asa ken ya'ase lo. Gimulo yeshuv b'rosho. She has a right. Like what? Like you did was done to you. Which is, you married her under the old ruse just in order to get the rental. And then once you married her, you got rid of her because she didn't care for her. So she did the same thing to you, which means she's allowed to act in that way since she was used by you. So therefore she's in the right in order to protect herself. She doesn't have to now honor the rental. Therefore she was allowed to evict. So comes the Gemara and says, that's actually a pasuk, by the way. That pasuk, Kashin Asa Ken Yaseh Lo. They're just using it over here. Like, just like he acted in a tricky way to her. So she did the same thing back to him. Comes the Gemara and says, Lo Mebaya Hatzer. Which means, we don't have to tell you that this is mutar what she did. Not only in the case where, let's say, she doesn't normally rent out the hatzir. So then for sure, she's, I don't usually rent this out. I only gave it to him because he married me. That's for sure she was in the right. Even in a hatzir that normally she does rent out. Amra le, she could say, Lekule alma nihali leugre. Velach. Lo nihali. I'm happy to rent this out to anybody, but to you, I'm not interested. Didamit alai ki arye arba, because you're like a lion that's standing over me in ambush in order to attack me. Which is, that's what you did over here. You pressured me to marry you over here, and then you used me to rent the item. So therefore, even though normally she rents the item out, so you can't argue. Well, what if this? She always rents it out. She can't kick the guy out of former husband. No, in this case, the way she has a claim, because the guy took advantage of her. If you remember, we learned in the Mishnah that if you rent out a store for a baker, or you rent out a store to a dyer, so you cannot evict them until you give them 3 years. So we said, why? Why is it so long, 3 years? Because they have a lot of outstanding money that's owed to them, which is the way they run their business. People owe them money, they don't get paid right away, and therefore it takes for them 3 years till everybody pays for them. So if you can kick the guy out, you're not going to be able to find the guy, and therefore it's not going to be fair. The guy's in business for 1 year, all his creditors owe money, and now he's somewhere else, they're not going to find him. So therefore, when it comes to Nachtomim and it comes to these type of Saba'im, the deen is 3 years. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.